Saudi Arabia, Libya, and Iran, among others, through the creation and funding of international Islamic organizations, promote not only Islam, building a mosque, schools, hospitals, sending imams to serve as mosque leaders and preachers, distributing Qurans and Islamic publications, but also their brands or interpretations of Islam internationally, among Muslim communities in the Muslim world and in the West. The result has been the promotion and propagation of a broad range of interpretations, from the conservative to the revolutionary. Today, there are many that argue that it is not rulers or the clergy, but the laity and or parliaments that should be major actors in the process of change. As we have seen, the ulama have often come under criticism from diverse sectors of Muslim society, viewed as out of touch with the demands and realities of the modern world, and as a religious establishment too easily co-opted by governments or too compliant. At the same time, as in Christianity and Judaism, an educated laity has increasingly asserted its role in the community. While the ulama base their authority on their training in traditional Islamic disciplines, Quran, Hadith, Sharia studies, the laity counter that they possess the expertise, legal, economic, medical, necessary to address contemporary issues, and should be counted among the qualified experts, along with the ulama. Because remember, an alim means a learned one. And indeed, many in the laity have also now earned their degrees in Quran studies and Islamic studies. Just as the vast majority of Islamic political and social organizations, such as the Muslim Brotherhood or the Jamaat-e-Islami, the Islamic Salvation Front, and Islamic parties in Turkey and Tunisia and in Southeast Asia, are lay rather than clerically led, so too, in the latter half of the 20th century, the authors of contemporary Islamic thought increasingly came to represent lay as well as clerical experts, offering their interpretations of Islam on political, social, and economic issues. And that continues today in the 21st century. Critical to what we're looking at today is the question of restoration or reformation. Broadly speaking, the question today is, should the process of renewal and reform be one of restoration, looking to the past and restoring, or reinterpretation, the reimplementation of classical Islamic law, or a bold reformulation and reconstruction of Islam? Some who call for a return to Islam simply mean reclaiming and implementing the traditional classical legal blueprint for Muslim society in all its details, as some Christians and Jews simply want to appropriate the traditions of the past. Others argue that times have changed and that it is necessary to replace or supplement laws formulated centuries ago with fresh interpretations that respond more adequately to conditions today. They wish to return to the sources of Islam, to the principles and values of the Quran and the Sunnah, example of the Prophet, upon which new laws and institutions can now be formulated. This discussion, debate, and at times battle can be seen across the Muslim world, from Egypt and Morocco to Malaysia and Indonesia. And it can be seen among Muslims in Europe and America within all Muslim communities. Well, what are some of the issues that emerge? Islam and democracy would be a primary example. Islamic reformism in the 21st century in particular, but it also occurred in the late 20th century, has struggled with the issue of democracy, democratization. Some Muslims maintain that Islam has its own system of government, that democracy is based on un-Islamic or Western principles and values. Others reinterpret traditional Islamic concepts like consultation, consensus, and ijtihad, reinterpretation, so consultation and consensus of the community, to support modern political consultation, modern political participation, such as parliamentary elections. Another issue is the status of non-Muslims. And this is a major and current debate. Many want to reinstate traditional doctrines, such as the doctrine that non-Muslims are a protected people, dhimmi. While it was ahead of its time in the past, as we talked about earlier, today it would consign non-Muslims to a second-class form of citizenship in terms of rights to vote, to hold senior government positions. Others advocate non-Muslims' right to full and equal citizenship, fostering an egalitarian and pluralist society of Muslims and non-Muslims.